The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackedSidewalks.com.
Marquette basketball is back, and so are we. Hello, everyone, and welcome in to Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you. Phil, it is time for actual basketball. We are a day away.
The regular season is upon us. It is exciting. By the time people listen to this, it will be, you know, the start of the regular season eve.
Exactly. So we're recording this on Sunday night for you, hoping to get it out to you on Monday and talk the first week of Marquette basketball. We're going to go through some news and notes and then give you maybe just a short preview of these first two opponents, which hopefully, knock on wood, should be hopefully two comfortable wins for our Golden Eagles, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Phil, let's just start with, I guess, some recent news and notes. Marquette has played its first exhibition game, but it wasn't streamed or on TV or anything anywhere, so only the people who were in the arena actually got to see it. There were a few highlights on social media, I guess, but I guess the only thing I could take away from basically what people were saying about the 98-40 win over Bowie State was threes and dunks.
Yes.
Lots of threes and dunks.
Which,
and I guess, speaking from an efficiency standpoint, that's the way you want to run an offense. Maybe that's a lot easier said, or, you know, a lot easier to do against the a team like Bowie State as opposed to Big East caliber opponents, but sounds like Marquette was pretty much able to do anything it wanted in that exhibition.
Yeah, again, I was not in attendance, but based on, you know, trolling social media and as well as, you know, various clips on the local news and whatnot, it looked like it was, you know, an exhibition game with a much more talented team versus a not so talented team. And I think the thing to be excited about based on one single game is just the athleticism that's going to be on this team, right? Like, and again, the fast pace and the quick ball movement, I think all of that's going to lead to probably a fair amount of angst as they make mistakes and or, you know, get a little too far over their skis. But it's also going to make for some interesting, entertaining basketball, which is really kind of what we're going for in year one.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of evenly distributed the minutes in that game, as you would imagine. Trying to get a lot of guys just a few minutes, at least, and a lot of guys hit double digits. Kirkweth had 12 points and 10 boards, so a double-double for him in the exhibition. Tyler Kolick hit 5 threes. It's good to see, because we're going to need three-point shooting from somewhere. So that was good to see. Yeah, like I said, other than that, I didn't see the game, so I can't get a whole lot of takeaways, but I guess the starting lineup was Morcell, Prosper, Queth, Lewis, and Kolek. Maybe an indication of the starting lineup we might see opening night this week, Phil?
Well, I was going to ask you, do you think that reflects the starting lineup this week? I was a bit surprised by the starting lineup. I did not expect to see Kolek and OMP in the starting lineup, but they certainly were. Now, they, again, exhibition, so who knows what the real minutes would look like, but those two, well, no, I take that back. Tyler was the third leading minute getter on the team, so maybe he will be a starter. I guess I'm just a little surprised by that is all.
Well, one thing we do know is a bit of news from before that game, or I guess it was after the game, when it was announced that Greg Elliott is going to be serving a suspension of 4 games. All they said was, quote, a failure to adhere to department policies. Didn't go into any further details than that, but whatever it was, it must have been significant, because 4 games, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Mark Few got 1 for a DUI.
Right.
Granted, that's a different school, and he's a head coach, but I guess make an example of Greg for whatever he did.
What did Juan Anderson get for taking a ticket from a family friend? Wasn't it like 2 games?
I don't remember that one. That's going back a ways.
Yeah, but anyway, but, yeah, the point remains.
We've seen guys like get
amount.
Suspended for like a half for missing curfew or, I don't know. Some of these the team violations are never actually announced. But yeah, four games seems like quite a bit, especially because that takes him out of, yeah, the two games this week, which should be wins with or without him. But then you're talking about the Illinois game next week and the first game of the Charleston Classic against Ole Miss. So that's two pretty significant games that Greg's going to miss. So Shaka's serious about whatever Greg did.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty substantial chunk of the season, and especially for your one of your few steadying senior influences, right? Like, you know, and even in Ben Steele's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel write up after the expedition, he quoted Shaka as saying, let me find it here. he's been doing a really good job, and honestly, if it wasn't for that, he'd been in the game and playing significant minutes. But it's about the whole person, and hopefully it's something Greg can learn from. So, you know, based on that quote, Shaka is expecting Greg to have a significant role on the team, and to have, to your point, you know, the second two of the four games, Illinois and Mississippi, you would think Greg would be a very significant piece there, that Shaka is, you know, willingly sitting Greg to teach him and or the team a lesson, and that's pretty substantial. I mean, hopefully it's not anything, you know, that's repeated or anything significant from an NCAA standpoint or any of that, because boy, we can't have that happening too frequently.
Yeah, the one positive, Illinois is going to be without Kofi Coburn in that
right.
game. That was also announced within the past week. He's serving a NCAA suspension. I guess he sold some gear
in June,
which
yeah.
I guess. Yeah, with like just before it was technically, like, they changed the rules, and technically I think if you sell your gear now, it actually would be allowed. Maybe certain things, but maybe at that time he was considering going to the draft, and it was too little. He couldn't get it back, so I guess he's got to serve a three-game suspension. So Marquette will be facing Illinois without Kofi Coburn, but also Marquette won't have Greg Elliott, but...
I mean, honestly,
yeah,
though,
was,
that's a trade.
I was just surprised at the amount of games he got. Granted,
yes.
We don't know what it was. But I also will say that Greg seemed to be in good spirits from the pictures posted online and some of the Instagram videos, because he was, you know, there on the bench with his team in a suit and in the locker room after the game. And it must be a situation where Greg acknowledges, yeah, I screwed up. I'm going to serve this suspension, and then we'll get back to business.
Yeah, it must be. And again, it's... whatever goes on behind closed doors, hopefully it's, again, not repeated or anything like that. But it'll be interesting to see how all the very young players step up as a result of Greg not being available to play.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's a long season and all, but you could have a situation where maybe a guy who wouldn't have played as much, maybe he goes out and has a huge game against Illinois and Mississippi. And all of a sudden, Shaka's like, well, I mean, this guy's kind of got a spot in the rotation now, Greg. We'll work you in there, but we've had some other guys step up in your absence. And granted, it's a long season, and I assume Greg's going to have a significant role, but hate to see his I almost called it his senior season, but I'm not sure if it is.
Right. We don't know.
But hate to see the season start off that way for Greg, but he's such a fan favorite. Because he's been here for so long, and he's had such tough luck with injuries, and I think he's got so many Marquette fans who are rooting for him, and the fact that he is a holdover from the previous staff, the previous team, he's one of the few guys who stuck around. You get attached to the guys you're familiar with, so that's why fans are familiar with Greg as much as anybody on this team. So he'll be welcomed back by everybody, and hopefully we can move on from that shortly, and then he'll be back during the Charleston Classic, and you're talking about, I guess it's three games in 4 days then, so maybe there may be some tired legs and a need for an extra body.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the end of that thing.
He,
but
he should
the
be
only
well
other news
rested
coming out of
and healthy,
Greg,
right?
Right, yeah. Hopefully Greg stays healthy, because he's had some just terrible luck with injuries, just the worst, but hopefully he has a healthy season. The only other news to come out this week from Marquette's side, well, a couple other things, I guess, but Kian Etigere is going to redshirt, so they've announced that. I guess the benefit to announcing that up front is it stops the, wow, he's not playing, I wonder what's wrong, or gosh, is he going to leave? You know, if they people know, if you know, you go four or five games and a guy doesn't play, that's what people start saying. It's like, oh man, that guy's not playing at all.
Right.
There's something wrong. Well, but if you say it now, he's redshirting. I'm like, oh, that's why he's not playing. He's redshirting.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is, you could always change your mind later. Like, right. Say Marquette has a, heaven forbid, has a rash of injuries in the front court. You could always change your mind and take the redshirt off and put him in a game. So,
well, and,
that was announced and. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
Save him for down the road.
Yeah. I mean, he probably needs some bulking up. I mean, I think that was relatively known coming in. And what will also be interesting is based on some brief Google searching, it does look like the basketball side of things has a similar red shirt rule that the college football has, where you can play a percentage of games and not have it impact your ability to redshirt. So in theory, he could play a couple of games and not lose his red shirt. Now, whether they choose to do that or not is entirely up to them, right? Like, there's nothing that says they have to, he has to play or not play or whatever. So we just put that out there as a general, if you see him in a game randomly, that doesn't necessarily mean they've lifted the red shirt. They've just chosen to take advantage of, it's 6 to 8 games, depending on how many games are in the season, that they're allowed to play without impacting their eligibility.
Yeah, so something that, I guess something to keep an eye on. So I guess there's technically we may see him, especially if there's a rash of injuries, or we maybe get towards the end of the season and he's played in 0 games. You could take advantage of that rule you're talking about there, but don't expect to see a TJ on the floor anytime soon. Because, you know, like if what you're saying is correct, Phil, that you could play in 6 games, you don't want to throw him out there this week and then find out, you know, maybe in March
right.
you have some injuries or some guys have to sit out a couple games and then you need him for 2 games.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to waste those games, right?
You're inching close to that limit where you're burning the red shirt. So no Etijeray this season, no Greg Elliott for the first 4 games, and apparently no Floor for a month.
Yeah, should we start a true crime podcast on the Crack Sidewalks Network around what actually
happened?
Might
be more interesting than some of the other stuff we talk about. But what happened there? Did somebody like kick over a stack of boards by a mistake, or the way it was phrased in the press release? It said the Bucks are rectifying the situation, which made it sound like somebody with the Bucks may have had something to do with what happened to the floor, or like whoever maybe sets the floors down for the Bucks. I have no idea what happened to Marquette's floor, but the bottom line is the floor for Marquette basketball at the Fiserv Forum has been damaged in some way and will not be ready for about a month. So Marquette's home games in November will be played on, I guess, one of the Bucks' alternate floors. I guess they have a couple different designs for floors for home games for Bucks. So it's maybe like their second or third on the depth chart. I guess they have 2 floors. So their second floor will be Marquette's floor for the first month. So
yeah,
it will be the Marquette Bucks.
Yes. I imagine somebody took, like, in their haste when the Bucks won the NBA championship, like, pulled a bunch of tarps off of what they thought was random wood to hang in the locker room, and it turned out it was the floor, and then somebody spilled like champagne all over the uncovered floor or something like that. Like, but yeah, it's a bit of a bizarre story, and it's going to be one of those, like, 30 years from now, there's going to be some, you know, nerd Marquette trivia. What other court did Marquette play on besides its own in the 2021-22 season?
Or like maybe like there's like a significant moment, right? Like say like Marquette beats UCLA at home, right?
Right.
And like it's a monumental win and we running back highlights of it years later and it's the Bucks floor. It's like, why were they playing on the Bucks floor
right.
in that game?
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting because they had to paint, obviously, the Bucks only have 1 3-point line and it's the NBA line and the college line is closer than the NBA line. So they had to paint or, you know, put a decal down, whatever it is.
Tape down or whatever they did. Yeah, so they had to add 3-point line, I guess, just before that exhibition game. I guess that's the thing that I don't love mentally? Because with college players, I don't have no stats to back this up. It's just something I get from watching games. When they play on a court that has 2 3-point lines, they always stand behind the furthest one.
Yep.
Even though they can get closer and still get the 3 points, right?
Right.
So there will be an NBA 3-point line on the floor for Marquette games.
Yeah,
the first month or so.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be weird.
It will be. It will be. So I hope you've been keeping up with some of the roundtable discussions. Anonymous Eagle's been posted over the last week, kind of going through some of our predictions for the season as far as leading scorers, leading rebounders, impact, freshmen, transfers, things like that. So it's been kind of a running blog with Phil and I both contributed along with some of the guys from Anonymous Eagle and some of the guys from Crack Sidewalk. So keep up with those. Have you had a chance to read through any of those, Phil, and any takes or any predictions that you wanted to hash through before we maybe move on to Marquette's first couple opponents?
No, I thought they were all really well written. I chuckled at quite a few and I don't know that there's anything remarkable that came out. I think, you know, the season is going to shape up like largely everyone's been saying, right? It's going to come down to, you know, how good is the defense and is the offense serviceable? And that's going to be the long and the short of it. The rest is just going to be, you know, kind of details over which young freshman steps up and has a good season if Marquette's going to have a good season. Did anything stick out to you?
It seems like there was a lot of consensus on a few things, like as far as guys getting minutes. I mean, everyone's expecting a lot out of Justin Lewis, of course. Why wouldn't you? A lot of people are expecting Daryl Morcell to have a big impact, basically from a leadership standpoint and also setting the tone defensively for what Shaka wants this program to become. But, yeah, there's just so many unknowns because most of these players, none of us have really ever seen. Really, aside from the three who are returning from last year's team, and maybe you're familiar with Daryl Morcell from him seeing him playing at Maryland, but you know, like I feel like I watched plenty of Big 12 basketball, but I didn't know who Kirk Weth was when he transferred in. I guess I didn't watch enough Oklahoma games, but a lot of these guys are really unknown and really new. It could go one extreme or the other, and yeah, like one way Marquette. A lot of these guys kind of gel, and there are some pleasant surprises, and maybe Marquette's right in the thick in the middle of the Big East pack, right? Some of those teams that are calling and trying to make the postseason. And then if it goes completely the other way, and maybe you have an unfortunate injury or two, maybe you're just swimming in the basement there with DePaul and Georgetown. And I think that's where the general consensus, we talked about this on the last pod, if you survey all both the predictive metrics websites like KenPom or Bart Torvik, or if you're reading just some of the analysts like on CBSSports.com or ESPN.com, the general consensus is Marquette's probably the ninth best team in the Big East. I hesitated there. There are 11 teams now, so second to last third from last in the Big East, behind only ahead of Georgetown and DePaul. So. Expectations, generally speaking, whether you're looking at metrics or just the opinions of people who follow the sport, not very high. And so hopefully they can overachieve a little bit. So even if you finish seventh in the Big East, you could spin that as a great step forward, right? Or a great first step for Shaka Smart. So I think we're just kind of looking for something to hold on to heading into next year and the year after that say, okay, we've established an identity. We have these two or three players who emerged this year who are going to be centerpieces under Shaka Smart, and now let's build. And hopefully in a year, two, three, Marquette's where we would love to see the program be, and that is near the top of the Big East in the tournament more often than not. Advancing in the tournament every so often, and just being relevant as a program.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, and it's, you know, perhaps a little bit deflating to already be talking about next season when this season hasn't started. But that is the reality of the situation, right? Is that the expectation set for this season is be serviceable and build for the following season, right? And anything we get,
and just play an exciting brand of basketball,
right? Right, and don't yeah. like don't, you know, kind of jerk the fans around, right? Like, I think, actually, I take that back. The biggest thing is there seems to be the repeated distaste for, like, the previous, under the Wojo years of the fading late in the season, right? And I think that's going to be the big takeaway, regardless of how they perform. If they're performing good and they get a little bit better, or they're performing poorly but they improve to okay, right? Whatever it is, in late February and March, be playing your best basketball as opposed to, you know, in the previous regime, the worst basketball. Right,
like, yeah, like progress, right? Right? Just like you're better in February, March than you were in November. And I've heard it said sometimes if you're, the ideal is to be good, and if you can't be good, at least be interesting.
Correct.
So I'm hoping they can at least be interesting, at least have me a reason to tune in every week. Which, you know, you kind of had that fading over the last couple of years. Like, well, Marquette plays this week, I guess I'll watch. Whereas no matter who Marquette plays, I'm gonna be fired up to watch every week. I think it's, I just want to learn more about this team and see who emerges and if this team maybe can surprise and exceed some expectations. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Shall we touch on these first two opponents a little bit, even though, you know, they're not going to be very highly touted opponents very much. These are bye games. Games where Marquette is supposed to win, but let's go through them just a little bit.
Right. Let's see what we got.
Game one, Tuesday, November 9th. 7:30 p.m. Central Time at Fiserv Forum. You can see it on FS2. It is SIU Edwardsville. That's the Cougarsville. They are coached by former Marquette guard Brian Barone. A year ago, they went 9-17. They are 3-13. That's out of 358 on KenPom. So definitely in the real bottom tier as far as preseason expectations nationally. They play a very slow pace. Shouts to Alan Bukowski at Crack Sidewalks for, you know, digging up some of these notes on these teams, helping us out with this. But the guy you're going to want to watch for SIU Edwardsville, aside from our old friend Brian Barone on the sideline, they got a super senior transfer, Sean Doss. He comes in from Arkansas Pine Bluff. He averaged 15.9 points and 6.5 rebounds per game for them, so he's probably going to be Edwardsville's best player in this game. And then a couple names that may be vaguely familiar to you, Shamar and Lamar Wright. They are the sons, twin sons of Lorenzen Wright. He played at the University of Memphis in the 90s, and he actually had a long NBA career. I think he played like 12, 13 years in the league, something like that. So those are his sons, and they play in the front court. So that's going to be one of those nuggets that must get dropped every game Edwardsville plays, kind of like, you know, Todd Mayo is O.J. Mayo's brother. It's like Shamar and Lamar Wright, Lorenzen Wright's sons. So you'll probably hear that repeated a few times on the broadcast.
Right. It was the Brendan Bailey, Thurl Bailey.
Yes. We didn't get that. I guess we did get that fair amount, but not quite nearly as much as Todd Mayo as O.J. Mayo's brother.
That's correct.
Like, that was daily. Like, that was literally every game.
Yes.
We got the Thurl Bailey drop maybe, I don't know, once every three or four games, I feel.
Not to be negative or anything, but it may or may not be directly correlated to the number of times Brendan Bailey played well at Marquette.
Maybe.
Sorry.
There were some games that he wasn't that relevant. But now let's not linger on that. But the bottom line is, Phil, with this SIU Edwardsville game, you know, to put it lightly, and, you know, we're trying to be respectable to Coach Barone. He's trying to build that program, but that's a tough place to build, and it's kind of been tough. You know, another former friend, John Harris, was the coach before him.
Correct.
And they let him go a couple years ago when Barone took over. But, you know, to put it kindly, this isn't a great team, and this is a team Marquette should handle pretty easily, you would hope.
Yeah, well, and to point out that SIU Edwardsville did lose its exhibition game to earlier. They played the same night that Marquette did in their exhibition game. So, I mean, not always indicative of how the season's going to go, but it's also not a ringing endorsement. So, yeah, I think Marquette's going to get a lot of players on the court in this game.
So KenPom has that as a projection for a 20-point win for Marquette. We'll see what Vegas thinks when the – I don't know when the lines come out. Line maybe come out on Monday or Tuesday morning for that one. The other game coming up this week, that will be Friday, November 12th, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. That'll be at the Five Serve as well. You can also see that one on FS2. The New Hampshire Wildcats, they are 225 on KenPom, so a little bit higher than SIU Edwardsville. They had a kind of a shortened season last year. They only got to play 19 games because they just really didn't get many non-conference games scheduled. Just kind of tough to put that thing together. So they only, out of their 19 games, 16 were conference games. They only had 3 non-conference games last year. But they did go 10-9, so they were above 500. So that's something for a program like that.
Nice.
The guys to watch for them. This team will probably rely on its front court a little more. Maybe a bit of an undersized front court compared to a power conference team like Marquette. But Nick Guadarrama, who's a 6'5 forward, he averaged 14 points, 6.5 boards. And Jade Martinez, he's a 6'7 center, 13.5 points, 8.5 boards a year ago. So look for New Hampshire to maybe rely on their guys inside. Might be an opportunity for Kirkweth to block some shots and show his dominance in the paint because he's going to be the tallest guy on the floor. And more minutes for him, you know, that's one reason he came here from Oklahoma, is to play a lot more minutes and start and maybe show what kind of a defensive presence he can be as he maybe tries to prepare for a pro career somewhere after college. But I look for him to have an impact trying to cancel out New Hampshire's front court guys.
Yeah, well, I think both New Hampshire and SIU Edwardsville are both very slow, methodical teams. So that'll be interesting in juxtaposition to the to Marquette's perceived style of, you know, playing aggressive, up-tempo, want to create a lot of deflections, etc. So there'll be some style differences here for sure, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, I don't believe either game is really a risky game, but I think one, if not both, of the games might end up being a little closer than you expect. One, because both teams are going to try and limit the number of possessions, which means it's that much harder for you to get a big lead because you just don't have the ball enough. But two, you know, if, you know, especially with a young and experienced team, you know, if let's say New Hampshire here is within 5, you know, it to start the second half, or, you know, 5 minutes into the second half or something like that, do Marquette's players start pressing, you know, not pressing in the literal sense, but like in the emotional, like mental sense, are they going to start to try and do too much and be like, hey, we gotta blow these guys out or whatever. And I think that style will put some mental pressure on Marquette that'll be interesting to see how they work it out.
One thing I want to ask you, Phil, being a season ticket holder, how excited are you just to be in the arena for this game? Because it's like, sometimes I honestly forget that there really weren't fans in the arena for these games last year, because I've been watching sports all summer with, you know whether it's baseball or, you know, football lately with plenty of fans in. And I kind of forget that, I guess only senior day they had like family and friends in attendance, but other than that, there were no fans. So how excited are you to be at a full, I assume, hopefully close to full, Fiserv Forum this week?
The limit does not exist. I'm not gonna lie, I'm wildly excited. I think it's gonna be cool to be back in the Fiserv. It's gonna be cool to see people, you know, some of whom I haven't seen in over a year easily, and just see like the product with my own eyes, not on a television screen. I think it's gonna be really exciting, and I think, to your point of no games going on, and I think we've seen it in the NFL, we've seen it in Major League Baseball, obviously professional sports, you've seen it in college football. I think that the crowds are going to be a little extra juiced just because they're so excited to be there. You know, so I you know, I'm going to be kind of a little bit crazy there the first couple of games as I get used to being back, and I think it's going to be great. I think the team's going to have a product on the court that people are going to cheer for, and it'll be good to be back.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. Hey, so one thing, we usually wrap up these podcasts with our general predictions, you know, win or loss for each game. I assume you're predicting 2 wins this week.
That is correct.
Yeah, but I wanted to add a little juice to it. Maybe add a little fun to each game. So I came up with this thing that I want to do this year. I'm going to make, I guess you can call it a challenge for each game. I'm just going to call it Take My Money. And basically the way it's going to work is I am going to say a goal for Marquette to accomplish in each game. And for each one they tick off, I'm going to donate $10 to the Blue and Gold Fund. And if somebody else, and if you guys want to join me on this, feel free. If whether you want to do the same amount or maybe less or maybe more if you want to donate more. But the idea is each game I'll say, I hope Marquette can do this. And if they do it, add $10 to the total. And let's say hypothetically they do them all, that would be 31 games. Then by the end of the season, I will make a $310 donation to the Blue and Gold Fund. They may be challenging, so maybe they get half of them or so. Maybe they get 20. We'll see. Some of them, maybe they'll be analytics-based. Maybe, for example, maybe the team has issues with turnovers for a few games. Maybe we may say, look, let's see if we could get the turnover rate under this amount for this game. Maybe it might be sometimes just as simple as just win. If they win, take my money for the week. Or maybe it'll be something like cover the spread. So that's kind of what I want to do. So going to have some fun with it. I'm going to keep it simple for these first two because we really don't have much analytic data on this team yet. So I don't know what kind of like statistical things to put for these first couple games, so I'm going to keep it simple. For the first challenge, Phil, for the SIU-Edwardsville game, I'm going to say, it should be a blowout. Hopefully it's a blowout. Hopefully it's a comfortable win. And what do we love about comfortable wins? What do we love at the very end of a comfortable win?
Oh, we love those walk-ons.
Get a walk-on in the game. So my take my money challenge for the first game is, obviously, this kind of goes along with winning because this wouldn't even happen if it's a close game or they lose, God forbid. But if a walk-on scores a point, that'll be $10 to the Blue and Gold Fund that I'll donate.
See, you're going against Club Trillion.
Yes, exactly. No, not a fan of Trillions. No, right, no. Right. Although, maybe, who knows, maybe that'll be one week. If somebody gets in a game and it puts up a trillion, maybe that'll be one week. But no, not for this week. So if any walk-on gets in this game and scores 1 point, that'll check the box for this week. And for the New Hampshire game, I'll just say cover the spread, whatever it ends up being. I don't know what it is now. We'll have to check it like Friday, and maybe I'll post it on Twitter before the game, say, oh, the spread is whatever it is, 14.5. And then so if they cover, check the box for that week. So it'll just be one per game, by the way. So it would be like $10 either yes or no. And so at the end of the season, we'll total it up, and then I'll make that amount of a donation to the Blue and Gold Fund. Like I said, if you want to join me, please join me. If you're just amused at me giving away money, then just be amused by me. And you can donate. You don't even have to donate to the Blue and Gold Fund if you want. There are plenty of scholarships at Marquette University that you could support and donate to and do whatever you want. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do $10 per challenge.
So first of all, I absolutely when you told me about this bit, I'm in absolute love. This is fantastic. I thought one of the ones you might go with this week, and we haven't discussed these pre-show or whatever. So I'm as surprised as the audience, and I love the walk-on scores a point. I thought you might go with the deflections because the team has a.
Oh yeah,
to get more
that'll
than
have
32.
To be one. That'll certainly have to be one. Maybe I'll do that one for Illinois.
Oh, there you go.
We'll figure out what Illinois will be. So like, what's the? They've even said what the number is. What's
32.
The number they try to hit every game?
32 deflections a game, and they just had 54 against Bowie State. So
good night.
Yeah, which Smart did say was the highest he had ever had a team get. So. That's probably a combination of luck and, Bowie State. But this is fantastic. And quite frankly, I think we need a hashtag for this. And I think the hashtag is take my money, MUBB.
Well, that's a long hashtag, though.
It sure is. It takes some characters. But,
Maybe MUBB TMM.
Oh, there you go. Or just let's reverse it. Let's make it TMM MUBB.
Team up.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, we'll workshop it. Let me know what you think. You can hit us up on Twitter. But anyway, so I'll announce what the take my money challenges are at the end of each podcast. I'll try to do one per game, and hopefully we'll the idea is now that we're in season, we'll try to record this podcast weekly. Mm-hmm. Ideally, probably record it Sunday nights, post it Monday mornings. And that'll be your preview for the week. So maybe each show we will have, like, if there's two games a week, I'll have two Take My Money challenges in each show. And then maybe we'll do a running total and see, by the end of the year what it is. So, again, if you want to join me with it, let me know. You don't even have to let me know how much you're donating. Keep that to yourself if you want. But That's what I'm going to do.
Yep. And well, and we can revisit the previous week's Take My Money, and then we'll put some new ones out there from you. So this is going to be great. I'm excited. So,
yeah. Hey, I like giving back to the alma mater, but now I'm making it fun.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, listen, if this starts a whole movement, you know, maybe yeah, no, you're not going to get anything out of it, but you'll have fun doing it anyway.
As long as you guys listen to the podcast, that's all I ask.
Yeah, that's really giving back to us.
And also, if you rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, that's helpful as well. But on that note, if you have any feedback for us, you're all welcome to hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann3. Phil is MOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. We have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page as well. And again, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And CrackSidewalks.com, we post the podcast there as well. You can leave comments on CrackSidewalks.com. Phil, anything else before we get out of here?
Let's get into the season. I'm ready for it to start.
Let's play Marquette basketball. I'm excited. You're excited. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be with you all season. Until next time, everybody, seashells and balloons.